All right. We have been talking about an unconditional surrender and saying when a war is over, there's a loser and there's a winner, and the winner gets to dictate the terms of the surrender, and the loser generally has to surrender unconditionally. In other words, they don't get to have a say in what happens to them, okay? An unconditional surrender, typically the terms, as we've been saying all along, is one in which there are no guarantees given to the surrendering party. There's, in other words, you take what you can get, because if you don't, then what happens is there is a threat of complete destruction, extermination, or annihilation, or to be erased completely. Okay, so utterly destroyed if you do not agree to this surrender. Okay, well, what we have been doing in this study is taking that whole concept and applying it to a spiritual unconditional surrender, realizing that we are an enemy of God when we sin. And unless we unconditionally surrender to God, we will be utterly destroyed. There is no alternative. The great news for us is though we were once enemies of God in our minds, okay, the war is now over. God has declared a victory through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son Jesus. And as Paul tells us, He triumphed over the enemy by the cross of Calvary. So the victory has been won. The war is over. It is up to us as the enemies of God to totally and completely, unconditionally surrender to God. And what we've been doing in this study is really breaking this down into various areas of our life that we need to surrender unconditionally to God. And so this morning, what we're going to be talking about is unconditionally surrendering the sin in our lives. Okay? Now, someone might say, well, wait a minute, I thought we got rid of that when we became a Christian. Yes, we did, but we still struggle, okay, as we were talking about in our Bible class this morning, spiritual warfare, and Satan is always attacking us, and there are times when we sin. And more importantly, if we're really, really honest about this, that there are sins that we struggle with in our lives. And those can be different for everybody. Right? And so this lesson is really all about us learning to surrender that or those sins unconditionally to God so we can get rid of them out of our lives. In other words, as we've been talking about again in our Bible class, we talk about spiritual warfare, how Satan knows us, he knows our weaknesses, and those are the areas that he will constantly be attacking us at, because he knows we're very vulnerable to those areas of sin in our lives. Whatever they are, again, different for everybody. So we need to make a commitment to unconditionally surrender those things, those sins in our life to God. So let's talk about that, okay? The first thing that we have to do in order to unconditionally surrender our sin to God is we got to own it, okay? We've got to own it. We've got to accept responsibility for it, and we've got to understand that sin is a matter of choice. Amen. Okay? In other words, when we sin, we choose to do it. This whole thing about the devil made me do it, no, he didn't. The devil tempts us, but the devil can't make us do anything we don't want to do. Amen. Okay? So the first thing in owning it is we need to stop blaming the devil for our choices. Okay, and stop using this as an excuse. The devil didn't make me do it. I chose to do it. Now, he tempted, but it was my choice. And we need to understand that we are free to choose, but you are not free from the consequences of your choices. Okay? Mm-hmm. Choices always have consequences, some good, some bad. Mm-hmm. But they always have consequences, and those are the result of our choices. So we need to own those things. You choose it, so you own it. Don't blame it on anybody else. Own up to it. Okay? We go to the Garden of Eden. We look at this whole issue of choice started then with mankind. When the Lord gave Adam and Eve the instructions, from the tree of life, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat.
Amen.
For in the day that you do, okay, in the day that you do, you will surely die. In the day that you do implies choice. And that's where it comes from. God told them not to do it, but gave them a free will. If you do this, you will die. God created us with a free will.
Amen.
Okay, so it is our choice as to what we do, how we live our life, and whether we sin or not. Okay? Now, in the case of Adam and Eve, when God confronted them with their choice, they played the blame game.
Yeah.
Okay? The man said, "The woman you put here with me gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." So not only did he blame somebody, he blamed God. "God, it's your fault. If you hadn't put this woman with me, then I wouldn't have done that." Okay? And the woman says, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." You see, isn't that how people are today? Nobody wants to accept responsibility for the choices they make in life. We want somebody else to accept it. We blame everybody else. But the reality is, God will hold every single one of us accountable for the choices we make. Not the choices other people make, but the choices we make. Because we have a free will. Okay? In Joshua chapter 24, in verse 15, Joshua challenged the Israelite people with this: "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then," look at what he says, "choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." Yeah. "Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, choose."
Amen.
"Which one you're going to which direction you're going to go." And he ends that with that saying, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You see, that's
Amen.
A choice. We choose to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And every single one of us has got to make that choice. Are you going to serve the gods of this world? Or are you going to choose to serve the Lord? But it is a choice. Okay? In James, in the text that Tom read for us as we began this morning, James makes it very clear to us. Okay, again, we can't blame the devil for this, and we certainly cannot blame God. All right? "For when tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." But look at what he says here. "But each one," okay, who's each one? Everybody should have their hand raised, okay? Because we are the each one, okay? "Each one is tempted when," look at this, "by his own evil desires."
Well.
"He is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." That's the process by which sin overtakes someone. But understand,
well,
it begins with our own evil desires.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's why we cannot just simply blame the devil for doing it. Because it comes from within us. All right? So, as the saying goes, and I've heard Ray say this many times before in conversations, if you mess up, fess up. Mm-hmm. Take responsibility for it. You need to own it. Because that's the first step. Okay? Alcoholics Anonymous has a great amount of success in helping people to become to overcome alcoholism, because the very first step is to own it.
Amen.
Okay? That's the very first step in the program. You've got to own your problem with alcohol. And so they begin with this. Hello, my name is, and whatever the person's name, and I am an alcoholic. Okay? And so, you know, in a lot of ways, I think we need to do the same thing when it comes to sin. Hello, my name is Russ, and I have this sin problem. We need to own it. Because we will never change it. We'll never stop doing it. We'll never replace it in our lives until we first accept responsibility for it. As long as we're blaming everything and everyone else, we'll never overcome it. Okay? I want you to notice something here. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, John says this. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Yes.
All right? Then you skip down to verse 10. He goes on to say, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So verse 8 and verse 10 is all about denial when it comes to sin. Okay? I don't sin. I've not sinned. I got it all together. It's kind of almost like the rich young ruler, right? That comes to Jesus and, you know, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Keep the commandments. Which ones? And Jesus gives him a list. I've done all those since I was a boy. You see? It's like, you know, it's not me. I don't have any problems. I want you to notice what's sandwiched in between verse 8 and verse 10 here. Verse 9, here's what it says. If we confess our sins. See, that's ownership. Okay? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
You see? The only way we get forgiveness is if we take ownership of our sins. Mm-hmm. See, denial doesn't work. We have to take ownership. And until we do, we will never surrender. Those struggles and those sin problems, we will never surrender those to God. And we will keep struggling with them. Okay? So the second thing here is, I want to encourage you to think about, is to be a nonconformist. Okay? Be a nonconformist. And we say, well, what does that mean? Well, notice a couple of things that the Bible tells us about this as it relates to the problem of sin. Okay? In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. So again, be a nonconformist. Stop conforming to the world. Stop behaving like the world behaves. But be transformed, or change your behavior by the renewing of your mind, or changing the way you think. We change our behavior by changing our thinking first. So in other words, goes back to the first thing. We've got to acknowledge that it's sin. Okay? And when we start thinking in terms of, yes, this is sin, then we can begin changing that behavior. Okay? We got to change the way we think about it. Because I'm afraid that too many times, too many of us, and sometimes myself included, we think that, well, nobody knows, nobody sees it, it's not hurting anybody, all those other kinds of excuses, so it's not really that bad, is it? You see? And the reality is that sin is sin even when nobody else sees it. God sees it. You see? So we need to understand that. But we need to stop conforming to the way the world lives And we need to start conforming to the way that God calls us to. Look at what Peter writes. Very similar thing. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Stop living that way. Stop conforming to the patterns of the world and the evil that the world does. Don't be like the world. Okay? And then he goes on to say, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. God calls us to a life of holiness.
Amen.
A life that is set apart for him. Not one that is to be lived according to our own desires and our own selfishness, but a life that is to be lived for him. Okay? The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 says this, I tell you this and insist on it. Okay, so this is not just a suggestion. Okay? He says, I insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Again, be a nonconformist. Quit living like the world is living. And live a life for Christ. Okay? Because the Gentiles, and basically that's the world, is how we would apply that today. The Gentiles are living in the futility of their thinking. I mean, just let that kind of jumble around up there in your mind a minute. Look at the way the world is living today. And they think it's all okay. See? And that's futile for them to be thinking that. They're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. And that's why we have so many of these culture wars that are going on today, because the world has turned everything upside down and the world says that everything that God considers to be sinful is okay. And that's another reason why we need to be a nonconformist. Stop conforming to the world and be holy. Okay? Go back over Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we talked about this passage in our Bible class this morning. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, okay? Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, all of those folks, Joshua, Rebekah, all of these folks that have gone before us are witnesses. And he says, since we have these great witnesses, okay, that are cheering us on and watching over us, look at what he says. Let us throw off, get rid of it, in other words. Get rid of what? Everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. We need to surrender all of that unconditionally to God. Throw it off. You say, throw it off. And God knows that it is tough to do that. He knows it's difficult. That's why he's given us this great cloud of witnesses to cheer us on as examples to us. Okay? So we need to get rid of it. We need to stop conforming to the world and start living more and more for the Lord. And finally, we need to choose the greater value. Okay? Look at what the writer in chapter 11, verse 24 through 26, says about Moses. Okay? By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Okay? Refused to have the pleasures, okay? He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather, okay, again, he chose that. Remember, we talked about choice, right? It was his choice. He chose to be mistreated rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time.
Well.
And that's important for us to understand. Whatever pleasure we get from sin in this world is short-lived. Okay? It is short-lived. Not only does the pleasure itself typically not last very long, but our lives will not last very long in this world. And then we have an eternity to face the consequences of our choices. So we can choose to enjoy the pleasures of this world against God, but we will pay for that for all eternity. Or we can choose, like Moses, to forfeit the pleasures of sin and to have the reward of an eternity with God in heaven. Notice what the writer here says. He, that is Moses, regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. You want some encouragement to be able to overcome whatever sin you might be battling in your life? Do what Moses did. Okay? Do what Moses did. What is the greater value? The pleasure I get from this sin? The temporary pleasure? Okay? Or do I look ahead to the reward that God has promised me? All right? So in other words, don't trade eternal life for a moment of pleasure. And in our lifespan, that's truly what it is when you compare it to all eternity. It is a moment. James tells us that. Our life is a mist or a vapor. So it is really a moment of pleasure that we are trading for eternal life if we refuse to surrender unconditionally our sin to God. We choose, and we have to choose one or the other, heaven or hell, but it is a choice that we make. All right? In Mark chapter 9, Jesus makes some very, very interesting comments here about sin. All right? Look at what he has to say. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. Now, you know, that sounds kind of drastic, doesn't it? If your hand is causing you to sin, cut it off. Because if you don't, that what you're doing might cause you to lose your soul for all eternity. So in other words, one way to look at what he's saying here is, don't touch it. Okay? Don't touch it. Keep your hands off. And look what he says next. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to end your life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. Again, the concept is drastic here. That's how serious it is. So what is he saying here? Don't go there. Don't go there. If it's a place you know you shouldn't be, don't go there. Okay? And then he says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell. Okay? Ray Stevens, in his song about the streaker, many of you might remember that. Here's how we need, I just thought, hey, that'll get your attention, right? Don't look, Ethel. That's what Jesus is saying here, okay? Don't look, Ethel. If it's something where you don't need to be looking at, don't look at it. Stay away from it. Okay? So maybe that'll help you to remember, you know, what Jesus is saying here. Don't look, Ethel. Okay? Don't look at it. Don't go there. Okay? And don't touch it. Stay as far away from that stuff as you can is really the message. Don't touch it, don't go there, and don't look.
Amen.
All right? Surrendering our sin to God is not optional for those who would spend an eternity with God. All right? For those who refuse to surrender, the fate is destruction. Okay? As we've been saying all along, if you refuse to unconditionally surrender, the only option is to be destroyed. And this particular area of our lives that all of us struggle with, and we need to be honest about it, that's what we started. We got to own it, okay? Then we need to surrender unconditionally. Those aspects, those areas, those parts of our lives where we know Satan knows we're weak there, he knows we're vulnerable, we need to surrender that to God so he can give us what we need to help us to overcome. All right? So, Wesley has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And we take this opportunity to, for anybody, that if you have a need that we can help you with, we want to be able to do that. If you have a prayer request then to share with us, then please let us know that. If you're struggling in your life with some particular sin, let us know that. Let us pray with you and help you. Whatever you need to overcome that sin problem in your life. For those of you who are with us online this morning, the same thing applies to you. Wesley's number will be on the screen as we're doing this invitation song. And if you have a prayer request that you would like for us to address, you can text him and we will address that. And if there's anyone that's listening to us out there that is not yet a Christian and you desire to become one, then you can do that as soon as is possible with you, even today. All you have to do is contact us. Let us know that that's your desire. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make him Lord of your life, then call upon him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God. And have those sins washed in the waters of baptism, washed away completely. And you can do that again as soon as is possible with you. All you got to do is let us know. So we have this opportunity for those of you who are here to let us know. Those online, text Wesley. Let's stand together and sing.